Happy New Year. So forth and so on. I'm really glad all the teens left. Because you just don't want that much energy in the room. So, you know, it would be very distracting if we were to do that. So they're gone. Look in your Bibles, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's start there soon enough. Our brains are amazing. It's a 3-pound mass of tissue encapsulated by your skull to protect it. And it is the seat of the central nervous system. It's the one that receives all the sensory input from your sense organs and your skin and your nerve endings. And then it takes that information and it integrates it and it processes it and it distributes back information to the body. It's an amazing piece of equipment that we have. And yet they say, and I don't know why they say this, and I don't know how they say this, but they say we only use 10% of our brains. Have you heard that? So what's the other 90% doing, Tim? You're a medical doctor. You should know. I mean, if I'm only using 10% of my brain, what's the other 90% doing? Well, I can tell you a couple things it's doing. It's handling, like, for instance, your breathing right now. Breathing is not a conscious thing that you have to, okay, during the sermon, let me in, out, in. You don't have to think about it because your brain, I got this. I got this. Your heartbeat, you don't have to, okay, keep the blood pump moving. Got to do it. No, the brain just handles all that. And the brain also has some little workarounds to promote our understanding of reality. Like, if we were to just understand that reality is that our planet is just this tiny little speck of dust floating in an infinite ocean of space, and that on that tiny speck, you and I are just the tiniest little specks doing our thing and thinking it's so important. If we thought about reality like that, it would be kind of like, I'm just going to stay in bed. You know, I don't really need to do anything because I'm an insignificant speck in a just infinite ocean of space. But we can't do that. And so our brain makes these workarounds to help reality seem important. Like, for instance, show the thing. Yeah. Can you read that? No problem. Even though that's garbled words. You can read that. I think it's because it's not relevant. You know what I mean? Humans can read words even if the letters aren't in the right order, as long as the first and last letter say the same. Your brain is doing that for you. And see, your brain is saying, all right, let's not mess this guy up. He knows what it's supposed to say, so let's just kind of put it in order for him. But that's not 10% doing it. That's some part of your brain that's just kind of working for you. Now, there's another one. Show the second one. Oh. See, you guys are smarter than I am because it took me 5 times to see it. Why does the human brain ignore the second the? What does that mean? It took me 5 times before I realized that really what it says, why does the human brain ignore the second the? But see, our brain just ignores that second the because it wants to promote our view of reality. It says, you know, that's basically what it says. This guy's a numbnut. I'm just going to go ahead and gloss over it for him. Why does he, you know, it's like our brain is working overtime for us. Our brains are amazing. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. How's he going to get from that to this? Let's see. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit. It says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, there's two words that I want us to focus on in this passage here, veil and transform. A veil is something that covers your eyes so that you can't see properly. Like in this particular situation, people could not believe because they had a religious veil. They could not believe that Jesus was the Messiah because they were Jewish and they were steeped in the Hebrew law. And so for them to have a guy walking around saying, I'm God in the flesh, it just didn't compute. They couldn't figure it out. They had a religious veil over their eyes. And so they couldn't see that Jesus really was the Messiah. Now, what are the veils that we have, the things that stop us from seeing clearly? Well, a religious veil. We definitely have a religious veil. If you're a religious person, you have a religious veil. You live in a religious bubble. You know, you live in a fog a little bit. Now, there's some really good things about our religious veil and our religious bubble. It's safe. It's secure. It's protected. It all makes sense. Somebody can explain it to you out of the book. But there's some bad things to have in our religious bubble too. Sometimes it's a little bit too safe. Sometimes it's a little bit overprotected. Sometimes we don't have any new information coming in because we don't want any bad information, so we stop all the information from coming in. And especially it's true for kids. Kids grow up in elementary school, the religious bubble, middle school, the religious bubble, high school, the religious bubble, then we send them off to the University of Georgia. And it's like, they're like looking around like, hey now, you know, there's a lot going on here that I did not realize. And sometimes it can be kind of overkill. So there's a religious bubble. There's relationship veils. There's a relationship veil. Like when you fall in love, I'm not talking about deep like, I'm talking about love. You fall in love, there's a veil that's over your eyes and you can't see clearly. You can't see all the danger signs in her. The danger signs in him. She's got six cats. That's adorable. No, it's not. It's a danger sign. It's a warning. He's never had a job before. That's adorable. No, it's not. Those are danger signs. You can't see him because you're in love. Everybody else can see him, but you can't see him. And incidentally, that's how you get your heart broken. When you get the veil going, because you're like all invested in this relationship and you're all in, and then you find out later that she's not all in, and she, while you've been, you know, just really good, she's been out horn dogging around town, and I'm talking to you, Barbie Phillips, Southwest High School, circa 1972. That's right. I'm calling you out on that. That's how you get your heart broken. Relationship veils. Money can be a veil. Wealth can be a veil. You think, hey, I got money. I got securities. I got annuities. I got this. My money is protecting me. No, it's not. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it to be an unscalable wall. When you have money, you feel secure. You feel good. And you feel like it's an unscalable wall. The heathen can't get in. They can't get to me. Yes, they can. They can scale that wall. You got all the money in the world. All it takes is one phone call, one bad call, one bad lab test, one kid that you want to do so good, but who's struggling. That's all it takes to climb over your unscalable wall. Money can be a veil. It's an illusion. It's a bubble. Technology and social media can be a veil. It can be a bubble. You ever try to talk to somebody on their phone these days? I'm not going to mention any names, but the woman that I live in the house with, it's like when she's on her phone, you could drop a bomb and she would not notice it. It's like, honey, I'm a carbon-based organic being trying to talk to you, honey. And she's just like, and then finally she comes out of the fog and it's like, what? It's like, you know, if you ever talk to somebody that's on their phone, it's like they've come out of a cave they've been in for about a year. And they're like, what? I'm on my phone. It's like we get so into our phones and our social media. And I've got to check to see how many likes I got on my last retweet. It's kind of crazy. So addicting. You know, we have face chat. Snapbook, Instagram, social media. And it's a place where you can get online and you can give full throat to your harshest sentiments to total strangers in a consequence-free environment. What could possibly go wrong? But it's addictive. We're into it. You know, so everybody's like, oh, I'm doing the Daniel fast for the new year. I'm going gluten-free. I'm going to do Whole 30. Not me. What I decided to do after the midterms elections last November, I went on a Twitter fast. No more Twitter. I'm off of the off the Twitter machine. I'm off. And the reason I did it was because I was just tired of being outraged all the time. I'd read someone on Twitter, that makes me mad. You know, oh, I can't, oh, that person. And now I had totally no idea if it was true or not, but I still felt all the feelings of outrage. So I just, you know, because I originally got on Twitter for sports updates. And then I noticed that I'm like getting involved in conversations about what's better, communism or capitalism, you know, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? I've got to stop. So I got off Twitter. I said, you know, that's it. No more for me. And it's been one of the best things I've ever done in my life because it's a veil, it's a bubble, and it's part of our lives, but you've got to control it instead of allowing it to control you. You know, do something real. Make your bed. Do a push-up. Take a walk in the woods. It's not all about robots and Twitter and tweets and all that stuff. I know I sound old. I'm glad they're not here. You know, but it's like, free your mind. You know, free your mind, the rest will follow. If you want to read me first, you got to see me. I said, free your mind, the rest will follow. In Vogue, that's strong. Taking you back, but it's strong. So that's a veil. That's a bubble. It's a fog. But what we're talking about here is transformation. When anybody looks at themselves in the mirror, they take down the veils, you're able to see clearly, and you look in the mirror, you see the reflection of Jesus, and that transforms you into his glory. That changes you. It transforms you. Now, I have to tell you that I am contractually obligated the first Sunday of every new year to preach a sermon about New Year's resolutions. You have to do it or else the Preachers Guild will, at the very least, they'll send you a nasty letter, but they can fine you, they can dock your pay, they can do all sorts of things. So preachers have to, on the first Sunday, they have to preach about New Year's resolutions. So we are now in the portion of the sermon where I'm going to talk about all the amazing New Year's resolutions that we're going to make. Here's what we're going to change. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to go gluten-free. I'm going to roll a 300 game in bowling, right, Jeff Kruger? Huh? I heard you. I'm there. It's like we have these goals that we're going to do, and we supposedly are going to do all these things through the power of what? It's our willpower. That's the weapon that we have to be able to keep these New Year's resolutions arbitrary though they may be, just because the calendar changed, we think, okay, this is really going to motivate me this time. I've got willpower. Willpower. I am going to make changes in my life through the power of my will. I am He-Man and She-Ra. I'm going to make changes by my willpower. You know what I found about willpower? I have willpower until I don't. If you notice this, somebody could come up to me today and say, Steve, would you like some ice cream? I was like, no. I don't need that sugary confection. Thank you, citizen, but no. Next week, somebody come up, Steve, would you like some fudge? No, I don't need that. What kind of fudge is it? Does it have nuts? No. Then next week, somebody walks up and they've got my kryptonite. Steve, would you like a slice of carrot cake? Yeah, I would. Thank you. And see, I've got willpower until I don't. And you know who else is like that? You and you and you and you. We're all like that. We have willpower. I mean, it's strong as oak until it's not. So how are we supposed to make effective change in our life through our power of will? We won't. I hate to tell you that. We can't use our willpower to make decisions and to change stuff in our life. We have to be transformed. We have to be transformed. Transformation is a big word. It's a big word. It's not like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. That's not transformation. It's changing from the inside out. It's changing your form, changing who you are. Think about the transformations that we are aware of in life. Puberty is a transformation. Puberty is a transformation. I'm pretty sure all of us have been through it. But what it is, your body changes, starts, you know, putting out hormones, and you go from a child to an adult. You transform. Pregnancy is a transformation. Pregnancy, a woman gets pregnant, and her body starts preparing to be the bearer of new life. It's a transformation. Her body changes. Puberty is a transformation, not a decision you make. Pregnancy, gestation, it's a transformation. Menopause, it's a transformation. A woman goes from being... A woman transforms... Yeah. So, let me put it in race and back up. It's like pregnancy. It's a transformation. And you see, that is the spiritual change that we are going to make this year. If you're waiting for willpower, just, you know, wait till that, whatever your kryptonite is, wait till that comes along and your willpower is going to wilt from an oak into nothing. And you're going to do the stuff that you said you weren't going to do. And see, our brains don't like that. Because when you hold two opposite views of something, it's called cognitive dissonance. It's like you start feeling discomfort mentally because you hold one view and yet you hold another view that's diametrically opposed to the first view. And so it's an example is you are a Christian, you believe in the Judeo-Christian work ethic, and yet you're stealing office supplies. You're taking home a stapler, you're taking home scotch tape, a pen. And so the Judeo-Christian thing, you got that going. Then opposed to that is you're stealing stuff. And that causes mental discomfort, cognitive dissonance. So you have a couple of choices. One, you can change your belief system. Oh, I don't believe all that stuff in it. Or you can, you know, just change your attitude about it. Well, they don't pay me enough, so I'm just kind of supplementing my income by taking the office supply. Or you can transform yourself. Not going to happen by willpower, but it's going to happen as we allow God to work in our lives. Look over in Romans chapter 12. I'm losing my voice already. It's early in the year. Romans 12. But finally, we at least have winter. I was about thinking we were in London after all the rain. I'm glad it's sunny. Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The world has a pattern. That's why everybody's doing the same thing. That's why everybody is drawn to the same sins, basically. It's like the world has a pattern. He says, don't conform to that pattern. We have a pattern. We have our own personalized pattern. The things we do that get us into trouble. The things we do that are in the world. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. He said, instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how it's going to happen. Not going to be your willpower. It's going to be as you are transformed in your mind, in your brain. See, we're back to the brain. Now, I don't consider myself a dumb person. However, there are mountains of evidence that are piling up that would make me reassess my situation. And I don't want to bore you with all the dumb things that I've done recently, because I know you wouldn't want to hear all that. But I can tell you that there's a couple things that pretty consistently I'm dumb at. So it's summertime, and Kim and I were out in the side yard with our dog, Axel. And Axel was really acting funny. He was like, you know, his legs were hurting him. And, you know, he's had both knees surgically repaired. Yes, I'm an idiot. And, you know, it's like, so I saw him and he's like moving around funny. I said, oh my gosh, Kim, you know what? He's torn his knee again. He's just acting so weird, so strange. Oh my gosh. And so I got dumb. And so we packed him up in the car, took him to the vet, got there about 7:30. We didn't see a vet until midnight. I mean, they were backed up. It's like, you know, dogs were passing away and people are weeping. And I'm like, oh man, this is horrible. So finally the doctor comes in at 12. And during that time, he was acting fine. We're like, okay, well, you know. So she comes in, she looks at him, she says, he's fine. You know, no problem at all. So we, you know, paid $250 and left. And got home at like 12:30. Remember that, hon? So the next day... So he was fine that night, fine the next day. So the next evening, we're out in the side yard. It's July, and I notice he's doing it again. Well, it turns out that the pavement was really hot, and he didn't like standing on it, so he was doing this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like I said, I don't consider myself dumb. However, that was a... And you know what else I've noticed is I can't remember when I'm in the showers, I can't remember if I've washed my hair. Does that happen to anybody else? I know it happens to Mike Van Freyen. But I'm in, and my hair's wet because I wet it first thing, but I can't remember. Did I wash my hair or not? You know, because it's like, I do it every day pretty much. And so it's not, you know, I shut my eyes. So there is, and I can't remember. And I think, well, maybe I'm just getting dumb. And sometimes I feel bad about it. But then I think, well, at least I have hair to wash. That's a good thing. And, But I'm concerned. I don't know if it's that I'm dumb or if I'm getting older and I can't remember things. But I think of myself, but what I really would like to do would be able to be a genius for just a day. You know, like a Elon Musk or, you know, one of these brilliant guys, you know, that just sees things out there and really understands. I think it'd be really great to be a genius. But I think to do that, you've got to use some of that other 90%. And so I've been reading this book, and so the guy is trying to explain E equals MC squared. Okay? And, you know, I've heard that. I know the equation. I got it memorized and everything. But he's trying to explain to me what it means. So basically, I'm going to explain it to you. E is energy equals M for mass, and C is the speed of light. And so energy is mass. Energy equals mass. Okay? I kind of get that. It's like... Something that has mass, it has heft, it has weight, there's energy involved in that. Okay, I'm starting to get it. So energy equals mass. They're the same thing, but they're related to one another by a coefficient. And that coefficient is the speed of light squared. And I totally don't get that. I don't understand what that means. If you do, please explain it to me after class. But it would be so cool to be so smart that you understood something like that. See, because that's where we've got to get our minds renewed if we want to have any hope of changing things. We need to be able to unlock that other 90%. But really, it's not even in brain power that we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual transformation. How can we unlock the part of us that's going to transform us? Not just be good ideas, good decisions, good willpower, but the part of us that's going to transform us. I think I've got the answer for you. Look in Mark chapter 4. It's E equals MC squared. It's so easy when you just do things according to science, I have found, even though I don't understand it. Mark chapter 4. If we have any hope of transforming spiritually this year, what we've got to do is we've got to unlock our spiritual selves and transform spiritually. Change from the inside out. And it's almost like we're not even a part of the process. It's just happening. It's going to be like pregnancy and puberty and menopause. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. Like, you know, you can't just opt out of puberty. You know, it's like I read some things about it. Seems kind of weird. I think I'm going to hold off on it. No, it doesn't work that way. You're going to transform. And spiritually, if we can do certain things, we're going to transform whether we're into it or not. Mark chapter 4 in verse 26, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, the seed, and you don't have to take my word for it. Go back and look in chapter 4, verse 14. The farmer sows the word. The farmer sows the seed. The seed equals the word. And so it says, when you plant the seed in your heart, when you plant the seed in your brain, what happens is it starts growing. And it's not you doing it. He says, as a matter of fact, whether you sleep or get up. You know, we're all about, oh, I've got to get up early and work hard. On this particular transformation, it doesn't matter if you sleep in. You could sleep in. He says, all by itself, the seed started doing this stuff. And it grows and you don't even know how it's working. That's the way seeds are. I'm so smart, I planted a seed in the ground. And then it grew. What did I do? I planted it. That's all I did. I have no idea how that other thing works. Photosynthesis, sure. Krebs cycle, sure. I've got all that, but I still don't understand it. It's like E equals MC squared. But I do know that I can plant the seed. And once I plant that seed in the ground, it's going to grow. It's going to start the transformation within me. You know, E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass coefficient speed of light squared. The word equals the seed. And there's a coefficient that's related to it that tells me how much I'm going to be transformed. And what that is me, here's what I have to do. I have to plant the seed. That's all I have to do. I just have to push that button. I have to start that process. I have to say, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to plant the seed, plant the word in my heart. That's happening right now. When you hear the Bible, it's being planted in your heart. And it is starting a process in you that you can't stop. You can't start. You don't know how it works. It's just working. And if you allow that enough time, it's going to transform your life. New Year's resolutions. What do you want in 2019? I mean, what do you want? What do you want? I asked myself the question the other day, and it was a hard question to answer. What do I want? I'm going to lose 10 pounds. No. That's not what you want. That'd be all right with you. But you want something deeper than that. I want a promotion. No, you want something deeper. Take some imagination. Take some time and think about, what is it that I want out of life? Maybe you're 60, maybe you're 40, maybe you're 20. What do I want out of life? And you're going to come up with answers, but you got to spend some time really thinking about this. You're going to come up with answers that are deeper than we usually do. I want peace. That's all I really want is peace. I don't care about being a gazillionaire. I just want enough money to pay the bills. I don't want people yelling at me. I don't want my family in turmoil. I just want peace. That's what I want. Start planting that seed, get that transformation going, and God will give that to you. I was thinking about what I want. I want transcendence. How weird. How weird am I? I want transcendence. That's why I read all these books about science fiction and space travel and always talking about the stars. It's because I want something more than just this earth. Because I believe there's something more than just this world. But that's what I want. I want to feel God. I want to feel it. I don't want to just think about it and talk about it. I want to feel it in my heart. I want to cry about it. I want to get overwhelmed by it. I want transcendence. Maybe you just want your loved ones to be happy. You know, you got a health situation. That's pretty much it's all that's on your mind all the time. You know, it's just that's just the way that is. I want to be healthy. Plant that seed. God will transform you from the inside out. It's a process. It's a transformation that's going to happen. And legacy. You know, I think some of us want legacy. Legacy is a gift that you leave behind. Left $1 million as my legacy to my kids. Well, they're probably not going to get that, sorry. But what gift can I leave behind? You know, and this is, and I'm glad the kids aren't here because, you know, sometimes you think about your funeral. You know, and you say, is anybody going to come? You know, I hope, what will people think about me? What will people feel? What legacy am I leaving behind? And I think all of us, you know, we need to be thinking about that because about the time we leave this little speck floating in this infinite ocean of space, that's when we're going to go to be with our Creator. And I thought Jim did such a great job on the communion this morning. You know, just, hey, it is not about me. God has got everything prepared. It is prepared for me. All I have to do is receive it and enjoy it. You know, I've got a lot more, but next week we'll finish. We'll talk about some of the specifics and the seeds. But for me, the thing that stands out to me is the veils. I want to get rid of the things that stop me from seeing completely and realize that there's another 90% that I'm not even aware of, but it's there to be tapped, it's there to be worked on in transformation. I don't want to make decisions and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. I want to be transformed. I want the process to start in me and then it's just hold on for the ride. And see, that's the way God's going to do it for us. But what we have to do, the only thing we can do is just plant that seed. Thank you.